Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back to the Blue Collar BS podcast, and let me tell you, today's episode is pure effing fire. We're diving into a story that's not just inspiring. It's a wake-up call for every shop floor, job site, and boardroom in the trades.
That's right. This one's about breaking barriers, building community, and proving that the next generation isn't just ready. They're already here, changing the game.
Exactly, Steve. Our guest shows us how passion, grit, and a whole lot of resourcefulness can take you from zero connections to leading a movement that's opening doors for hundreds of women in the trades.
And the best part, it's not just that frickin' theory that you learn. It's lived experience, real challenges, real wins, and some hard truths employers need to hear if they want to attract and keep that best talent.
So buckle up, folks. This is Blue Collar BS at its best, raw, real, and loaded with lessons for you that you cannot ignore. So let's get after it.
Welcome back, everyone, to Blue Collar BS. How you doing today, Brad?
I am wonderful, Mr. Doyle. It is Ryder Cup weekend here this weekend, which you don't care about because it's golf.
I was going to say Ryder Cup. What the heck is Ryder Cup?
It's golf. That's a golf. Don't worry about it. It's a golf thing. It's not you.
Okay.
It's me.
Yeah,
it's
all good. Cal Pastor Pool stuff I don't care about.
Exactly. Yep. 100% you don't care about it. That's okay, though.
You got that right.
It's okay. See Ryder Cup right there.
Ryder Cup.
USA versus Europe.
Oh, okay. And that's a thing?
Every 2 years.
Like the Olympics?
No, that's every, 4 years.
Well, but it shows every two.
It does. It goes winter, summer. It does switch off. So technically, yes, you are correct.
But yes, I do know it's every 4 years. Summer.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm well sure.
Okay.
I'm well sure. I'm a winter sports person. So, you know, we're gearing up and we're loving it. So.
Perfect.
So who do we have on the show today, Brad?
I am super excited for this show. When we got introduced, or we get to have Noosh Ahmed on the show. She is the founder of and CCO of Sisterhood of the Trades. Her background in the manufacturing trades, motorsports, from welding, CNC machine, just metal processing, metalworking, quality performance, all those things. I'm super excited to have a young, energetic Gen Zer on the show to talk about why and how and what and where we can go and get more of you into this world, because it is a... we need that very much so. So Noosh, thank you so much for joining us. I'm super stoked for this show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Because if our show is anything like our pre-call part of the show was, this is going to be absolutely freaking amazing.
Yes, the pre-call is always awesome.
It is.
So Brad already ruined the question. So we know that you are a Gen Z, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. So tell our audience, how'd you start going down this path?
So I didn't, like most kids, didn't know what I was going to do when I was in school. I was taking a bunch of random classes and I was managing them really well, like, you know, A's and B's. So most of my classmates and most of my teachers assumed that I was going to college. For what? I don't know. But in my sophomore year, I already knew I was sick and tired of this. I'm not going to school ever again. Like after my senior year, I'm done. So, or like, you know, done with this kind of school. So I started like researching what I could do. I'm kind of into cars at this point, but I don't have my license yet. Then I get enrolled in a driver's ed classes and I'm like, okay, this is a different type of thing. Like I can learn how to drive or I could learn how to fix my car. So I also enrolled, in my junior year, unfortunately, I started late. I enrolled in automotive classes at my high school.
Yep, okay.
And it was cool because when you get to like automotive two, you get to have it for two blocks. So I basically had automotive for half of the day. And it was then, I like planned it out really great. And as a senior, I mean, like, even though it was COVID year, I was still able to come in for the hybrid classes. So I had, basically auto the whole day in person, and then my Zoom classes were all my, like, you know.
They were all sitting over there on the side.
All the core classes.
Yeah.
So
all those core classes, those are on the side. I'll be doing some breaks. I'll be changing some oil. I'll be taking care of some stuff.
And I was networking a lot in that class, which I didn't even realize that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But my automotive teachers were like, you know, you might have a future in this if you think about it. Like, you could enroll in an automotive school, and it's most likely going to be free for you because you're a young woman. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I have no idea what I'm going to do anyway, so I might as well do this. And like, yeah, my parents might be mad for a little bit, right? that's what I thought, you know. So like, it took a little bit of convincing, a lot of like performing, I guess, to be able to convince my parents, like, hey, I could do it. So I moved from Massachusetts to North Carolina when I was 18, and enrolled in NASCAR Technical Institute, and that was a really big deal in itself because
it's a huge deal. Yeah.
Well, it's a really huge deal, but nobody in my family has ever moved out of state for school before. Mm-hmm. So being one of the only ones that's done that, it was a really big deal. And then I don't really have anything automotive related on my resume at this point. So having NASCAR being like the top thing, I was like, you know what? I'll get a job in motorsport. I'm really into cars now. Like, by the time I graduated high school, I had a Mustang. I forgot to mention that. So, like, I was kind of obsessed.
Like, you know what? Old Mustang or new Mustang?
2007.
Okay. So, new. Okay. I'll call that new.
New-ish, I guess. But now I actually have a 94 Toyota pickup. So, like, what do you consider that?
I consider that fun.
It is very fun. Oh, that's I call it the shit missile. I forgot I could swear on this. So.
Shit missile. I love that. Yeah. Well, there's the name of the show. There you go.
But I'm enrolled in NASCAR Tech. I'm really enjoying my classes, but I'm realizing it's really difficult to actually get a job in motorsport with zero connections. Like, I didn't know anybody, and I also like didn't have my own tools. I bought my own tools as I was in school.
Okay.
So that was another thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't have tools until like, I think, the second half of school. So I'm like, okay, I'm struggling to find a job in automotive. I'm struggling to get a well-paid job because I couldn't survive at that time on $13 an hour. Mm-hmm. Paying my own rent and all that stuff, it was not feasible. So I saw all these posters at the school for like CNC machining, and then like right under it said $18, $19 an hour. I was like, you know what? That seems like a really good hustle. So let me apply. I'm like,
I'm going to go hustle, be a machine operator. Perfect.
All right.
I mean, I was like, you know what? $19 an hour. Perfect. And it was in an automotive school. So, I mean, how different could it be from automotive?
How different could it be? I don't know. It's all digital. It's all ones and zeros. And you watch things go around.
Different, actually. So like now looking back, I'm like, damn, I was kind of conniving, I feel like, because I like the interview process for my first machining position was kind of it was wild. I like didn't it's not that I pulled things out of my bum, it's that I was selling the fact that I really want to learn. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited by metal, I'm excited by cars, we're making automotive parts, I think I'll like this, like, just give me a chance, teach me, I'll do really good. I have a really good eye for things. Kind of bullshitting at this point because I've never done this before, so like, who knows if I have an eye for it. Turns out I pretty much did.
Weird.
Very weird. So I was like, okay, I got this, I know how to do this, now let me focus in on what I'm doing. And then it was kind of like I started researching all different kinds of machining processes. I wanted to learn, mm-hmm. like, what can you make? What do you mean? What can you make? You can make literally everything. Yeah, everything gets machined. And then it like clicked for me. I can make motorsport parts. And then I could combine both of my passions because all of a sudden, mm-hmm. this whole how it's made episode is now my passion. And mm-hmm. I've always still liked motorsport. So I'm like, you know what? Let me find a job that combines both. So then for a little while, I worked as a CNC operator at a valve machine shop. And then I switched over to the Swiss Laid side. So I was running Swiss Laid with a older gentleman who taught me a lot. And then he left. So since he left, I was like, you know what? I need to find a YouTube video or like connect with somebody or something. Mind you, at this point, there was like nothing on YouTube for Swiss machining. So I was like, okay, I'm going to struggle right now. I guess I have to dust off my LinkedIn.
So is that where Miss Swiss came from?
That is where Miss Swiss came from. Yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm going to rebrand a little bit. One of my mentors, the owner of Madhouse Motors, was like, you know, you need to have your own brand, have your own name. And so now I was like, you know what? I'm going to just take this one. This is good. And
it is a lot. That's what I'm saying.
I can't even remember most of it.
What you've done is nothing short of incredible in a very short career span. Mm-hmm. And then go out and create Sisterhood of the Trades on top of that.
Yes, that's like honestly my favorite part of what I'm doing with my life right now.
Where did that come out of? How did the Sisterhood of the Trades, how did it get birthed?
Yes.
Okay. So I was on TikTok I wasn't on TikTok. One of my friends from TikTok invited me to be on the Snapchat group chat. And I was like, you know what? I want to do it.
Words are being thrown out, Steve.
I know. I'm like,
do you know what Snapchat is?
Yeah, I do. I don't have it, but I do.
It's how I communicate with my daughters. It's the only way they talk.
Oh, that's cute, though. If my dad added me on Snapchat, I would block him ASAP, though. I just want to put that out there. ASAP. Dad, if you're hearing this and you make a Snapchat, block. Anyways, though.
All right, so you got we're on Sisterhood of the Trades. We've got Snapchat and TikTok going on here.
And so she adds me in. There's about 30 girls in this group chat, and it's a group chat for women in the trade. So I'm like, obviously, I want to be in it. And I'm like, we're kind of getting close because it's only 30 girls, but then there's more girls being added. And since I'm like kind of one of the girls from the beginning, I connected with, I'm going to use the word connected a lot, but I connected with the girls who made the group chat, Carly and Zoe, who I was like, you know, you could make this into like kind of a big thing. Like, you're already surpassing 200 girls on Snapchat. We might need to, we had 200 girls in the Snapchat group chat. And it's like,
wow.
My phone is so slow
working,
right now.
All working
in the trades. Yep. Or
hands-on.
Some of them are in school too.
Okay. Well, nice. They're in a path to be working in construction, in manufacturing, wherever.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so Carly's like, you know what? I think I could do it in a Discord group. I think you can add like up to thousands of people in a Discord server.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Thousands? I thought it was just like 1,000 or 2,000.
No.
Oh my God. Okay. So that's a game changer. We already have 850 women in our Discord server right now. And so they're all either working in the trades or studying to be in the trades. They're either they're apprentices or in the union, non-union. We have a bunch of different chat rooms for different trades. We also have chat rooms for like different states and provinces. And then we also have like a chat room for Australia because we do have a couple members from Australia. We're hoping to.
This show's listening to in Australia pretty well, too. I got two friends that are down there that listen to the show on a regular basis. So maybe it'll get some extra traction.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm currently working on our website, but our website will have basically all the information that we share on our Discord. So we share anything from job opportunities, advice, like attire that's like really good on the work site. We take pictures and we send them to each other. There's also a community chat for like moms who are in the trades, because I think that's a really big deal. And I think, you know, their struggles should be highlighted and they should be able to talk with their sisters about that kind of stuff.
I'm not gonna lie here. I saw it. I'm like, okay, this is something cool, neat, whatever. This is more than cool, neat, whatever. This is, how shall I say it? Fucking massively important.
Yes. And like these women are really active in these groups. And like, they're always talking about, I need a community. I need friends. I need other women in the trades. Okay. Here you go. We can set you up with that.
So what is one of the what's one of the things employers should be considering to do in order to support women in trades, manufacturing, et cetera? What should employers be very conscious of to be inviting, or opportunities, or what are you hearing in your group that says, man, this sucks, or this, I wish this would change?
Oh, okay. Good opportunity. This is a really good opportunity. So
yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Women,
question.
A lot of women need restrooms that are accessible, and specifically for women, like this is a very big deal.
You are absolutely correct, because you don't want to go into the other janitorial room over
exactly.
there.
Exactly. And a lot of the women that are on site are telling me, like, we have no bathroom. A lot of the times I have to go like two buildings down to use the restroom. That's crazy to me. Like, I've been blessed to work in places where I have had like a designated restroom. I'm very grateful. I've never had to experience that other than like in a science school once, which is like far, far long, like another life ago. But it's crazy like that. They have to deal with that. And then like the moms in the group chat are also talking about, I know this, like, it might seem very difficult, but like, I don't know what the word is, like a feeding room for when you're, you know, what is the word?
Yeah. It's
when you're like
lactating room, mother room, right? Pumping
room. Like it would be nice. And I know some people might push back and say, well, that's just extra. That's not necessary. Working moms are still working people, and they deserve the amenities that they need, especially if they have a kid. Like, to deny someone of that is wild. Maternity leave, I know, is very important, and I know in the union those have gotten better, I believe. I'm not in the union, so I cannot speak for that. Unfortunately, a lot of the women do like rant in our group chat about certain behaviors. And like a lot of them are very like, I know people are going to be like, well, you got to be like thick skinned when you're in the trade. A lot of these behaviors are very intolerable. Like, you should not be doing this to anybody. Yep. Correct. And yet you think it's okay to do it to one of us. So like, I guess just companies being conscious of your employees' behaviors. And if one of your employees, not a woman, one of your employees comes to you with a complaint about another employee, and even though she's a woman, like, don't fire her, hear her out, and don't ostracize her for making that complaint. Don't make it weird, because I know a lot of the girls also feel that way. Like, they're like, I'm scared to make a complaint. I know I have a voice, but then I lose everything else. And I understand that too. Like, that is a very difficult place to be in.
I cannot say thank you enough for sharing those opinions.
Yeah, but actually, if for our audience, because our audience is expanding, are you comfortable enough, like, kind of laying out one of, like, an example for our audience, like, very specifically, without naming names, but like a situation or scenario that should not be tolerated but is currently going on?
Yeah, let me actually pull up some receipts and find something. Because
I got a receipt right here too. It's from Menards. I gotta send it in. Oh, not that kind of receipt. Sorry.
Yeah.
Fun fact: in our Discord, we also have several community servers, several community chats where like girls could talk about their hobbies. Mm-hmm. If they like cars, they could talk about cars. If they have something they want to get off their chest, they could rant about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like exchanging music recommendations, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, I'm in the rant session on right now. Okay, so I mean,
don't name names.
But she's not wrong either, because there are many here shops in Southeast Wisconsin. It's like, oh yeah, we support them. And to your point of, there's not a restroom, there's not a parking lot's not lit.
Parking lot's not lit is a really good one.
Yep.
Doors don't lock.
Doors or entryways are not in ideal locations for how to get into the building, or they're around. You got to come around back and it's not well lit, things like that. Just stupid things like that that are not stupid. That was the wrong word to use. Awareness, being situationally aware of what your employees feel and go through as leaders and owners. You're not putting yourself in their shoes or taking that into consideration when you say, oh, we support women, but you don't do any of the things.
Yeah.
Because it might cost you money to put lights up.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would say a problem that's still a problem is one of our members had reported some issue back to her foreman, and she still got punished about it. So, like, that happens a lot. I don't know how she was punished, but...
Wow.
Do you know, do you have information, like, on the what the issue was?
I might have to scroll up very far to find it.
No, it's fine. And it's more just to help educate our listeners. Oh,
I found it. Unfortunately, its original poster was very tired of the comments coming from men about her body.
Got it.
On site, it's like they can't control themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that, like, honestly, that kind of sucks. And
it does. And
for her to get punished for reporting something like that is also like, that's so demoralizing. Like, she's your employee. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Correct.
And people should feel comfortable going into work without feeling or having that, you know, beratement actually happen.
Exactly.
And then for leadership, foreman is a form of leader. And then for leadership to put the onus back on the person for being who they are is also a problem.
Correct.
Yes.
And if that organization is not recognizing that we're almost into 2026 here, and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable from, you know, 1972 to what is today, even though it may have been acceptable, it was still wrong in 1972. Let me just clarify that. It was still wrong. All those things. That's just a litigious risk for them that they're putting themselves into, because now all of the things that you guys are doing in your community all have, there is no more, it's just a rumor. There's documentation, there's cameras, there's things, there's other things. It's like,
oh yeah.
That is not good.
Yeah. And people are being consistently recorded, whether they know it or not. So just saying, employees are now taking advantage of recording situations like that.
So tell us about your next gen manufacturing podcast that you have.
Oh yes. Well, it doesn't actually stand for manufacturing. It stands for motherfucking G. Like MFG, like motherfucking G.
All right.
So like,
yeah.
I don't want it to be only about, I don't want it to only be about people in manufacturing. I want to open it up to both men and women who are either in the trades, own businesses, or are somewhere in like the STEM industry, specifically people who did not go to college, but I do interview college students only if they're STEM related though. You know, and just to kind of show kids, parents, and other people that there's other options that aren't like the university pathway, and they are very successful, fulfilling. And the best part is your kid isn't a depressed mess. Like that should be the like main thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But apparently, it's a piece of paper with a little signature on it. That's like a really big deal too.
Mine's sitting over there on my shelf that I pulled out of a basement container that had been sitting there since 1993. So, it's like, okay, that diploma doesn't matter.
Actually, I totally joke though, because I actually do want to go back to school one day to get an engineering degree. I do want to study that.
That's a very specific field that has, right, from that technical standpoint, that needs all of that education to go through all those things. And that's where education is, I think, in a world of hurt, because this device right here can provide you so many opportunities to learn. To learn.
Yes, like
that. Why am I spending $60,000 to sit in the $85,000 to sit in the University of Michigan to do a business administration degree? What am I doing
that one? I agree with you.
Right.
I'll agree with that part.
Because, I mean, why now, if I'm going from an engineering, nursing, doc, right, those technical, I got to be certified, I got skills, I got to do these things,
right, that makes sense. I want my doctor to be degreed, by the way. Like, I know I was talking shit about it. I love my college graduates. Okay, I love you guys.
Oh, they're all good.
I love you guys. I know they have enough love. So back to trade students though.
Yeah,
Oh, we were just talking about the podcast. The other question I have is
my podcast.
Yeah.
What's this Tech Force Foundation all about?
Oh,
that you're a brand ambassador for?
Well, yeah, I think it was something I signed up for like 2 years ago when I was still in school. I don't really know if that's like honestly still valid.
Okay.
But back when I signed up for it, I put it on my LinkedIn because I was like, you know what? This is more exposure to me. And technically it really was. So that's another thing like I want to focus on my both my podcasts actually is LinkedIn and networking and using the right names in the right places, because a lot of the times both girls and boys, we do a lot of things and we sign up for a lot of sort of like we get a lot of certifications, study a lot of things, and we don't realize how much that can affect what we choose to do as a career. You know what I mean? Like if you just go and connect on LinkedIn with the person that, not with the person, but like with anybody that works at the company that you're interested in learning more about, that opens up a whole new dimension, I would like to say. Because when I first started connecting with people on LinkedIn, I was like, oh, wait, they're messaging me. Wait a minute, I have an in now. So that is also kind of what encouraged me to post more on LinkedIn, because I didn't want to seem like a bot either. I know that there's a lot of those on LinkedIn.
You're not a bot. You are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
No.
But I was like, there's a lot of random bots on LinkedIn, though, that will connect with a bunch of different people. So I'm like, I need to stand out. I need to be very obvious that I'm a person. So I talk a lot about people. I talk a lot about culture. I talk a lot about manufacturing. And a lot of it is like kind of abstract and almost unprofessional. Not unprofessional, but like very authentic. Like I just type and write and post, which I should probably proofread my stuff a little bit more before that.
Nope.
Because then it becomes
head trash, and then you got to worry about it. And that takes too long.
Nope. Take it from somebody that falls into that trap. Don't just do it.
Okay,
do it.
I got you.
Just all right. Send it.
So this is the portion of the show where we are going to go through some rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
They can be one word answers. They could be, you know, short, but they're meant to be. Here's some things. What's the dumbest thing you've ever heard in a meeting?
I can't remember. I don't know. Okay. I usually just clock out.
All right.
Fair enough. What blue collar skill do you wish people had more of?
Technical writing. Is that blue collar skill? That's not really a blue collar skill.
I think it is because you got to understand it, right?
How
it
works. Yeah, I feel like
this just can't be the thing. He goes in there and it rolls. Can't do that.
Yeah, I feel like
Okay.
Writing, that's not really.
What's your go to excuse when you're running late?
Well, my boss is pretty chill like that, so whenever I'm late, I just morning James, morning Noosh. Nothing on that, actually.
All right. Favorite adult beverage?
I don't drink.
Okay. That's okay.
That's fine.
Really good. Wait, what's the word? A really good mocktail. Any fruity mocktail? I'll pick that up. So.
Okay.
All right.
Go-to curse word?
Probably fuck.
Favorite candy?
Moment Smarties.
It's Halloween times, so of course. Text or call?
Text. I hate phone calls. Don't ever call me. Please text me.
Let's see. Dream job as a kid?
Race engineer.
Okay.
But that was when I was a sophomore. So does that count as being a kid?
That's
absolutely.
Good. Absolutely. Steel toes or sneakers?
Composite toes.
Fair enough.
Ooh. All right.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I just literally got a pair because I won a giveaway, so I'm so freaking excited to unbox them, but I already know they're purple because I like got to pick them, and I'm so excited. You guys will probably see a LinkedIn post later.
Nice.
Maybe tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Favorite pizza topping?
Broccoli.
Okay.
I know it's weird, but broccoli and cheese. I mean, like, people have broccoli and cheddar casseroles, so like it makes sense.
Huh?
No, I can.
It tastes really good.
I can understand that, especially with the crust on top of that as well.
Yes. Buffalo chicken.
Last thing you Googled?
I'm making chips podcast episode. Hold on. Oh, it's not even loading, but it's
favorite music.
Ooh, I listen to everything. So
okay, that's kind of hard. What's your favorite?
West Coast rap. West Coast rap right now.
West Coast rap. All right.
Sounds really good on set.
Okay. Living or dead, who would you want to have a conversation with? If you could pick anybody in the world, any in history, living or dead.
My grandfather, my dad's father.
All right.
Awesome.
I've never met him, and I want to know if, like, his opinions are the same as my father's, and if I can do anything to change them.
That is awesome. That's so how do people find, how do people get involved with Sister of the Trades? How do people find you, get a hold of you? Where do you, how do you create all of this great goodness that you're doing?
So you can find Sisterhood of Trades on LinkedIn, TikTok, and Instagram at the Sisterhood of Trades, or not at, without the girl. And our website will be soon published. So just wait on that. You'll find all of our information there. You can find all of our links there. You'll be able to find all of our blogs there. If you're interested in reading our blogs, you should check out the Sisterhood of Trades LinkedIn. And if you're interested in joining our Discord server, check out our Instagram. And under the bio, there's like a link and you can join there. We have a short verification process and then you're in. And then if you want to connect with me, you can always do that. If you look me up, Noosh Ahmed on LinkedIn or Nushrat AH on Instagram, as well as my podcast, Next Gen MFG on Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn. I think that's it.
Don't call her though, because she's
just not gonna call me. You shouldn't find my number. I took it off my resume, but like, please don't call me.
there'll be absolutely no answers, no returns.
I love it. I can appreciate that. So that's fantastic.
Awesome. This was spectacular. This is above and beyond what I thought this conversation was gonna be. So thank you so much for sharing. And there is so much opportunity with your Sister of the Trades program and things that you guys got going on there from so many different angles and opportunities. It's going to change the environment for sure.
I forgot to tell you what our dream is though, as the sisterhood. Also, okay. it's four co-founders. It's me, Carly, Hannah, and Zoe. And our dream is to fund scholarships for girls in the trades and like call it the Sisterhood of Trades scholarship, because when I was in school I didn't have a toolbox, and when I was younger I didn't have a toolbox, so it would have been nice to go into school with something like that. So being able to give someone something like that to kind of encourage them to take this path has always been a dream of mine, so it's exciting that it's starting to become a reality.
There is no doubt that will happen. There's no doubt as the doors will continue to open because you're doing things for the right reasons, and that will bear fruit for you. I am highly confident of that. So
thank you.
Noosh, thank you so much for being on the show today and being part of our little journey of the Blue Collar BS, the award-winning, the two-time award-winning.
I can't wait to start saying that.
Two-time award-winning podcast, the Blue Collar BS
back
show. Back to back twice. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue collar businesses strong for generations to come.